the following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by NMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at NMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. NMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting NMWKM Advisors LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about the stock market, we talk about inflation. Today, we're going to talk about the bond market. We talk about Social Security, estate planning, income taxes, you name it. We talk about it, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week's going to be no exception because we have an absolutely fantastic show lined up for you. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Why, thank you, Jack. And I am founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work with the most wonderful people in the entire universe. And that is people who are over 50, who are retired, retiring soon.
I love it!
Yes. And for those of you who are in that demographic, you are about to enter your second childhood without parental supervision, which we call your retirement. And if that's you, we want to facilitate that. We want your money to last as long as you do, and we want you to last a long time as well. So we have a great show lined up for you, and you know, not to brag, because I'm very shy about these things, as you guys know. I'm self-effacing. That's my middle name, Ken Self-Effacing Morafe. That's me. But you know, somebody has to toot the horn, because if I don't, nobody else will. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 financial advisors. Actually, now they did it 8 years in a row, which is mind-boggling. But you know, without our beloved and most valued clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients, we love you, we thank you. And for those of you who are listening to the show, I encourage you to subscribe to it. And you can go to any of your streaming services pretty much, and you can subscribe to the show and get it downloaded to your device at your leisure. All right, so please go do that. All right, let's talk about what we're gonna talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, last week was the cause of great hand-wringing and consternation, in case you didn't notice. All the talking heads that I saw on television were all like shaking with fear, quaking in their boots. I mean, it was like I haven't seen it like that in quite a while. So what were they all worried about? Well, the bond market interest rates went down. What on earth is happening? Everybody thought that interest rates were going to go up. The economy's recovering. We've got inflation all over the place. When's the Fed going to raise interest rates? Why aren't they doing it already? And then all of a sudden, the 10-year Treasury, the long bond, went down. And it's like, what on earth is happening? And that freaked the stock market out. And we had a big down day on Thursday. So I want to explain, in our first segment, we call it, Could Bonds Be Signaling a Threat to Your Retirement? That sounds ominous, doesn't it? So you'll have to stay tuned to hear that one. Also this week, we're gonna talk about something that's kind of fun, which is if you're thinking about living overseas, and you know, I've been doing this now, gosh, I think it's been, almost 31 years? Whew. But anyway, over those years, I've had multiple clients retire and live overseas. And so I just want to share with you some of my experience learning. Jack is telling me it's been 35 years we've been on the air. Do you have to remind me? Okay, stop. Actually, it's 25. But practicing living overseas, we're going to talk about that. Also this week, we're going to talk about social security strategies for married couples. All right. When, how, you know, one of the things that I always say is that when it comes to Social Security, if there was an Olympic gold medal for complexity, I think Social Security would win the gold every single time. It is so complicated. We want to help you navigate through that, make a good decision there if possible. And so we'll have that for you later on. Also this week, we're going to talk about our foundational philosophy. Now, because we work with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon, then our view is that how you manage your money and how your philosophical approach to managing your money should be different. And that is that, yes, you want growth, but more important than that, you want to protect what you've built. Because once you get within a few years of retirement or you are retirement, large losses can significantly change your plans. And we don't want that. So the people who believe in buy and hold don't agree with that. And so I've got buy hold myth number 4. Okay, and if you've read my book, you know that there's 7 of them. But number 4 is diversify your portfolio and your job is done. Don't worry about it, okay? Just go get a mint julep, put a hammock up there, and just sway in the wind, and you're diversified and all is well. Well, that's wrong, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why and hopefully convince you otherwise later on in the show. And you know what, Jack? Most shows would stop right there. Most shows would say, if we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me.
Oh, don't you dare. Because on this show, do we stop right there? No, we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before. And therefore, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. And this week, it's going to be on how to equalize your estate. Okay, so the estate tip is about passing on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. Well, maybe you want to equalize it, okay, because you've got some assets that are valuable and others that are not so valuable. And so how do you mix and match all of that? We'll tell you how to do that at about 10 till. So we have a great show lined up for you, and I'm sure you'll stay tuned for the entire program. You know, before we dive into all this, I got to make an announcement. One of the most important decisions of my entire life I made 2 days ago. You know what it is, Jack? I've decided on my name as a grandfather. This is big. It's a big decision. Don't laugh at me, Jack. It's a big decision. Okay? You'll be a grandfather soon or one day. And when that happens, you'll be having to make this decision. They'll be asking you, what is your name? So I've chosen Papa. Not Paw-Paw. Okay? Not P-A-W-P-A-W. It's P-A-P-A. Okay? I'm going to have to spell it out for people. It's Papa. Not Paw-Paw, just so you know. Anyway, I'm done with that decision. My beloved wife, Faye, has still... No, it's just Papa. No Papa Ken. Papa. But anyway, Faye, my wife, she's still got like 7 grandmother names that she hasn't figured out which one she wants. So she's still on the horns of the dilemma, and we have about a month and a half before the baby's due, so time is... 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. You're right. 2 years before they start talking. Anyway, let's talk about the bond market and could it be signaling a threat to your retirement? So, you know, one of the things that if you look at historic trends is that when interest rates are going up, which generally you see the investors in the stock market freaking out, oh no, the Fed's raising interest rates. But if you look at times of bull markets, if you look at times when the S&P or the Dow have had these long periods where they're rising over that period, what you'll find also is that interest rates are rising at the same time. So even though, you know, the people freak out every time the Fed raises interest rates and all that, generally speaking, rising interest rates is a good thing. Why? Because what it means is the economy is growing, it's heating up, and the Federal Reserve is trying to keep inflation and keep that growth under control. And so what they're doing is they're raising interest rates to slow things down and keep it all even and nice. And the opposite is also true. If the economy is slowing down and all of that and they want to stimulate it, then what they do is they start lowering interest rates to make money cheaper, and then that helps, you know, to regrow the economy and all of that. So the bond market has kind of an inverse relationship to the stock market, because when interest rates go down, usually that means bad times are coming, and stock market is not happy with that over time. But in initial, they like it. So last week, we had kind of an interesting thing. And the thing about the bond market is, I believe that you should pay attention to the bond market more than you should to the stock market. And the reason is this. The stock market, people invest in stocks because they fall in love. I love Tesla. I love Amazon. I love Apple. You know, I love Bitcoin. Whatever they love, they buy. And it's a love affair. Most investors, I would tell you, have not worked on Tesla or Bitcoin or whatever. They're just buying it because they love it. They're in love. Well, bonds, on the other hand, it's not a love affair. It's a business affair. Bonds are loans. When you lend somebody money, you're not in love with this person. And if you are, you probably shouldn't be lending them money. Okay, it's a bad idea. Kids, friends, don't do that. But anyway, so if you're lending money to somebody, you're going to do your homework. You're going to make sure that they can pay you back. You're going to do your analysis. You're going to make all those kinds of decisions. So the bond market is not love. It's rational. It's business. And when the bond market says, oh, we see bad things happening, interest rates go down. And last week, interest rates fell despite, wait a minute, aren't we going to be growing? Isn't the recovery like overwhelming and inflation and all this stuff? Well, in our view, it's all about the unemployment numbers. And that is that we have labor participation rate is the number of people of working age that are actually working. And the answer is that 38.5% of people in this country who are of working age are not working. And they don't seem to be anxious to go back to work at this point. And so if they don't, profits will be hurt, because without people, you can't build, you can't service, you can't do all that kind of stuff like you would otherwise, and that's not good. So I think that's in the short run what it is. But as I said earlier, don't worry about it. It's going to take care of itself, and I think we're going to be on to new highs later on this year, and I think into next year. So what do you do all about this? Well, if you're over 50, retired or retiring soon, what I would encourage you to do is to attend our seminars or to meet with one of our retirement planners. And you can do all of that by going to our website. It is rpoa.com. Now, in any of the events, what we'll teach you is how to determine if you have enough money to retire on. We'll teach you how to get income during your retirement. We'll talk about Social Security strategies. We'll talk about income tax strategies. And a lot of other stuff, and even customize it to you if you're meeting with our retirement planner. So all of this is available to you. Our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about practice before you live overseas. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. I want to talk with you about something that doesn't come up very often, and I would say over the last year didn't come up at all. But it's kind of an interesting thing to talk about, and whenever I do this segment on the radio, I all of a sudden get all these reporters and people that want to interview me about it and write an article about it. So it's about living overseas. Yeah, so so let's fantasize for a moment. You want to live in Tuscany, you want to live in Provence, or maybe you want to go live in Belize, Cabo. You want to live overseas, you want at Puerto Rico, And so, what are the things that you should think about before you make that move? Because it's a very nice romantic thing to think about, but you have to be realistic at the same time. Okay, so. The first thing, of course, that you need to think about, in my view, is what medical facilities and infrastructure do they have? Okay, because if you're like 300 miles from the nearest hospital or the nearest doctor, and you are of a certain age, and you know who you are, if that's you, it's important that you have medical facilities or doctors or whatever. Close enough that if something happens that you can get to them. So that's really the first thing I would look at. The second thing that's interesting to look at is the exchange rate. Okay, so the euro, if you're going to be in Europe, or whatever. So the exchange rate is something that maybe you don't think much about because you live in the United States and we have the dollar and we go all over the country and nothing changes. If you go overseas, there's the exchange rate could work against you, meaning that the dollar could fall or the dollar could rise, and that makes your purchasing power in that foreign country more or less depending on what the dollar's doing. And so you could have a situation where, you know, I remember when the British pound had spiked up and the dollar fell, and that happened with the euro as well a few years ago. And people were actually, I remember I was in a grocery store line in Paris, actually. And the clerk that was checking us out, she goes, "Ha ha, your dollar is weak. You guys are poor now. The euro is mighty." I was like, "Yeah, I love you too, ma'am." So make sure you look at what the exchange rate could do to you as well. The third thing is the banking system, you know, because you need to have access to cash and money, and their banking system is important for you to think about. So let's go back a few years ago when Greece was in the middle of their financial crisis, and they shut all the banks down. None of the ATM machines worked. All the banks were shut down. There was no money.
Oh, I'm so scared.
Yeah, so if you're there and you have access to no money, now what are you going to do, right? So it's important that you know how the banks are. Now, the other thing to think about is being away from your family, you know, and it's kind of romantic. I'm going to live in, Belize and all this and that, but then you are also away from your family. And I've met people that became the reason why they ended up not staying overseas is they couldn't see their family. It required their family to travel and do all that. And their kids work and have kids of their own, and it's like not conducive. So your family situation is something else to think about. And then finally, and this one's a new one that I'll add because we've never had this one before, and that is COVID. Okay, so just imagine if you went overseas last year and you wanted to come back into the country, and they said, you know, the country that you are in is no longer, people from that country are no longer allowed into the United States. So now, guess what? You thought you were going to be there for a little while. You are going to be there for a lot longer than you thought. So that's something to think about. Here's what I recommend when clients say, you know, they want to live overseas or do something like that. You know, don't sell everything, in my opinion. Don't sell everything and just move over there and then discover all this stuff. Instead, practice. What I would recommend is, you know, rent a place. If you're going to buy over there, you might as well, you have the money to rent too. So why don't you rent the place for 6 months or 3 months or something? And then while you're there, you'll discover, you know, what it's like to live there and all of that. And then, you know, I don't want to be non-romantic with you, but the romance, the bloom will come off the rose and you'll see what it's like to really live there. And then you may say, wow, it's even better than I thought. Or you may say, you know what, it's great. Great place to go for a vacation, maybe spend some time, but no, I don't want to live here for the rest of my life or whatever. Okay, so I believe that you practice before you actually do it. And if you do all of those things and you check all that stuff out, I think you'll make an informed decision. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, then this is... And there's a lot of you out there. I know that. Then what I'd like to invite you to do is to go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you do that, then what we'll do is we'll schedule a time to meet with you virtually. We're still not back in the mode of face-to-face yet, but we're hoping that's going to be soon. But for the time being, we'll do it over Zoom. And what we'll do is we'll sit down with you, and we'll go through and design for you a retirement cash flow plan. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to look at the sources of income you have, your expenses. We're going to look at your income taxes, your Social Security benefits. We're going to look at how much money you have, your cost of living, and we're going to help you to see if you're wanting to retire, if you have enough to retire. Okay, so we want to see if you have what we call your magic number, the amount of money to support your lifestyle. But then also, if you are already retired, we want to look at how are you invested? Are you overly risky? Are you not risky enough? Are you diversified? All that kind of stuff we want to work through with you. We want to show you how we designed our invest and protect strategy, which is designed to keep you from losing mass quantities in the next bear market. It's the one that we used in 2008 to keep our clients out of the stock market all year in 2008. And so we want to protect you from the next market crash if we can. So all of that we'll help you with. And then once it's done, we'll go over with you the whole thing. And if you like what you see, that's fantastic. And if you don't, that's fine too. So either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And you know what? Bogey is right. It is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. So go to RPOA.com. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security strategies for married couples. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And I want to talk with you in this segment about Social Security strategies for married couples, okay? So now, if you have questions about Social Security, you can do me a favor. You can send me your questions, and then I don't have to do any work. I can just use your questions on the air. You make
There's no doubt about it.
So you make my life easy, and I answer your questions. It's a win-win, and we have real-life stuff, okay? So here's the first question. I am 64, and my husband is 60. I have a minimal earnings record. So the question is, would I be able to claim my benefit now? And then when my husband turns 66 and files for his Social Security, can I switch to claiming half of his benefit? The reason why is because my benefit is less than half of his. Well, here's the answer. If you file now, okay, just remember, you're 60 right now. So if you filed now, then you would get about 87% of your age 66 benefit, okay? So when you add on the spousal benefit, you'll be paid the difference between your benefit and the 50% of his. So the total will not be the full 50% of the benefit. So if you want to get half of his, then you need to wait until you are age 66 as well, okay? So first, the higher earning spouse needs to turn 66, and then you become 66, and at that point, you'd get the full 50. Now, if you need the money before that, because, you know, he's not going to be 66 for a while, then what you want to do is take it anyway, right, if you need the money. So, now wait, let me back up. I said you're 60, you're 64, so you got two more years. That's why you'd get 87% of the benefit. All right, so question number two here. My wife is not covered by Social Security. She is older than me, and would collect spousal benefit only. Can my wife collect the spousal benefit? Okay, that's where you collect based on your spouse's record. So you want to get half of theirs if that's possible. So can my wife collect spousal benefit when I am 62 with the understanding that her benefit would be further reduced as I am under age 66? Is that even an option? Would she have to wait until I am 66 to file? Okay, so first of all, she can't file for a spousal benefit until you file for yours. Okay, that's number one. So until you're collecting, she can't get anything. All right, so that's the first thing. Now, you could file when you're 62, but that would leave you with a permanently reduced benefit. Okay, remember that. When you file, after a year passes, whatever you've done is permanent. Okay, so you have to be sure that you do it right. So it would reduce your benefit permanently. You would not get the higher amount that you would have gotten if you waited, but it would also reduce her survivor benefit, okay? So in the event of your death, the amount that she would get would be lessened as well. So keep that in mind, that it also would not reduce her spousal benefit as you suggested in your question, okay? So that it does not do that. So the spousal benefit is based on the amount you would have received had you waited until you're 66. Okay, so only the survivor benefit would be reduced in the example that you just gave. So what I don't know if anybody understood what I just said, okay, because I didn't. It is so complicated that, you know, Social Security, it's mind-blowing. It literally is mind-blowing in my view. And, you know, we put our retirement planners through a study program, and we certify them internally to make sure that they are up to speed as much as possible with all the current laws and all the things with regard to Social Security and Medicare. It is incredibly complex. And even after all that, it's the 6 weeks of all of this and that, we still find ourselves having to look up answers for people when they ask, because it's so complicated. And so I don't even know how a lay person who doesn't do this for a living could possibly figure out what the best way and how to do it and all that is. I just don't. And so therefore, this is one of those things that I would not do by myself. I would talk to somebody before I made my Social Security decisions. And if you've made a Social Security decision and you're within that first year, you have an out if you did it incorrectly. So if you're within that first year of having taken it, you can still talk to somebody and see if you did it correctly. And if you didn't, you can still get out of it. It's expensive to do it, but you can. So how would you possibly do that? Well, maybe if you went to our website And you saw that we have webinars on there about Social Security. We have podcasts about Social Security. We have articles about it. And we also have your ability to meet with one of our retirement planners and go over your entire retirement plan, which includes Social Security, but it also includes your income taxes, and it includes your investments and all that stuff. And we'll design the plan for you. We'll do it all at no charge or obligation. And if you like what you see, that's fantastic. And if not, that's fine too. Okay?
Wow!
Wow is right. So take advantage of that. Click on Meet with an Advisor. We'll look forward to meeting with you. And if we can help you, that is just great. Okay? So it's at rpoa.com. Our website is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about diversify your portfolio and your job is done. Wrong. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. One of the things that is foundational to what we do for our clients is, you know, we manage our clients' money. We also manage their help them to plan their Social Security, plan their insurance, their income taxes, their estate taxes, all that stuff we do. But when we manage our clients' money, one of the things that we start with is protection of principal is very, very important. Because if you worked your entire life and you've accumulated what you have, and now you want to retire and live on that money now becomes your source of income for the rest of your life, maybe along with some other things, but it's there. And so now your investments are going from you not touching them, being allowed to grow over time, to now you're draining the tub and you want to keep it going, but if it drains out too fast, then you could run out of money. You have all those dynamics.
You're a persistent cuss, Pilgrim.
Well, I am, Duke. And so I wrote a book because our philosophy is that buy and hold is incomplete. So buy and hold says that you buy a set of high quality investments, you diversify your portfolio, you rebalance periodically, your job is now done, okay? And you buy and hold forever. Now, the problem that we see with that is that you have years like Y2K, 2008, and many other times when even when you are diversified, what happens is that you still could lose a lot of money and it could still take a long time for you to recover it. And if you're living on it while you're trying to get it to recover, you're doing what farmers call eating your seed corn. You know, as it's going down, you're eating seed corn. And when growth season comes, guess what? You may not have any more seed left to plant. So it's a very dangerous situation to do that. So one of the conversations that I would never want to have is this one. So, you know, we diversified the portfolio. And, you know, for example, in 2008, the 60-40 portfolio, the balanced portfolio, went down approximately 37%. Right. So you're visiting with a client and they come in and they're all upset because I'm down 37%. I've lost, you know, I'm getting close to half of my money here. A third of my money is gone and I'm living on it. I'm distressed. I don't know what to. Well, I don't know what you're so upset about. Because the market went down 57%. You only went down 37%. You should be happy. In fact, you should buy me lunch. Let's go have lunch and you buy me lunch because you could have lost 57%, but the diversification saved you from that and you only lost 37%. If somebody told me that, they would be fired on the spot. You know, it's like, what? So here's the thing. It is important to protect on the downside because many studies have shown, in our view, many studies have shown that losing money causes way more damage than missing out on higher returns, okay? So you have to be careful. Everybody, I think, wants to grow their money, okay? That goes without saying. But if your focus is on that, when you have retired, then I think that you are focusing on the wrong thing. Now, I equate it to, you know, football, where you have a defensive coordinator, you have an offensive coordinator. So when you are working, when you are putting money into your 401k and you're doing all that kind of stuff, you're on offense because you're adding, you're putting money in. You don't need your investments to live on. So your paycheck and whatever, you're putting all money in over time. And what you're doing there is you are on offense. But once you are retired, I believe you are no longer on offense. I think now you are on defense. And what you have to defend against is inflation, okay, because that can erode your purchasing power. You have to defend against taxes, because that can also take money away from you. You have to defend against bear markets, as I just described. You have to defend against yourself. The person you see in the mirror is sometimes your worst enemy, right? Your spending habits. You have to defend against your health, which could cause damage to your finances. So all of a sudden, you know, you're on defense. And you need to realize that, in my view, and design your investment strategy and everything around protecting and defending your money so that it can support you over the long term.
Fascinating.
Wow, Mr. Spock. And also very logical, I think. So my book is Buy, Hold, and Sell. It is available on Amazon, and I'll tell you that all the proceeds from the purchase of my book that I get, we give to charity. And so you can buy a book that hopefully will give you some good insight and some good stuff to kind of think about and use in your financial life, and also help charity. And we've given tens of thousands of dollars to charity because of that. So go to Amazon or to our website, and you can buy the book on Buy, Hold, and Sell. And we debunk many of the other myths that I think are not good for you. Okay, so our website is rpoa.com for that. Now, I want to tell you that we have a seminar coming. We have multiple seminars coming up next week. The one I think I would like for you guys to attend, you can go to our website and see the others as well, but this one is on retirement planning in uncertain times. We talk about in that seminar, virtual seminar, how to fight inflation. Many people are concerned inflation's coming with a vengeance here soon. We talk about how to reduce your income taxes. A lot of people think that taxes are going to be going up here soon, and so building a strategy around that is important, we believe. Also, we talk about how to diversify your portfolio. We talk about strategies to protect from the downside. We talk about where to get income. So once you retire, how are you going to get income? Where are you going to get it from? Should you get it from your IRA? We also talk about the fact that the IRS... Oh, man, I'm sorry, folks. That was loud. But you know what? That's how I feel when the IRS comes a-calling. But the IRS wants to tax 85% of your Social Security benefits. We want to show you how to beat that if it's at all possible. We have all kinds of information that hopefully will help you, and it's all on our website. It's rpoa.com.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, Frankie, you are welcome. And while you're there also, we podcast this show, so if you want to subscribe on iTunes, you can get that. You can also, like I said, we podcast it, so you can listen to the show whenever you would like on your schedule. So all of that is at rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. Now, this is the part of the show where we talk about passing on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And this is an idea. I was talking to a prospective client about this. And one of the things that they were concerned about is they have two children. One is you can't trust them with money. I don't know what the nice word for that is. They're a spendthrift. And so he's 30. And then his sister, who is 29, is very, very good with money. She's, she manages money for a business. She's a controller, financial person, very good with money. So their concern is the son. So they have money in IRAs. They have money in non-IRAs. And they were talking about, I want to split the IRA in half and give half to my daughter, half to my son, but I don't know how to do that because, you know, we want to put it in trust for him. And so one of the down things about that is that if you name a trust as the beneficiary of your IRA, then it is very possible that a large tax bill will come due. So in the event of one, you know, upon death, half of it goes into trust for the son. There's a lot of taxes that come due on that. It's all taxable income at that moment. So how do you do that? Well, you can create what's called a trusteed IRA, but at the same time, you also have to name somebody to be the trustee over that, which would be a sister, and you got problems with that and this and that. So what we looked at was equalizing the estate, okay? Equalizing the estate. So I want to tell you how to do that, but first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And, of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And, you know, the estate taxes and probate, they're designed to actually do the opposite, to take you from riches to rags. And we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip. So this week, we're talking about equalizing the estate. So the idea of equalizing the estate is that you want each child to get half in this example that I'm using. But they don't have to get half of everything. Okay, they don't have to get half of a house or half of a car or half of the IRA or half of everything. What you can do is you can, you know, put things side by side and give the IRA, an example I was using here, to the daughter. Okay, give her the IRA, have her get 100% of that, but then give to the son the non-IRA money, because that you can put it in a trust and you can put rules around it because you're concerned that he's going to spend all the money. Okay, so you don't have to, you know, slice everything up in half. You can actually, now, sometimes it's not perfectly equal. You know, it may be a few dollars off here or there. You know, there's that issue. The other issue is, in the example I'm giving, is that if I'm the two of them, I would prefer to inherit the IRA than a non-IRA, because if I inherit the IRA, I can keep it going for 10 years with no taxes on it. When if I inherit the non-IRA stuff, I have to pay taxes on that as I go. So there are some considerations within that that you need to think about. But if you're concerned that your child is going to spend all the money and you want to leave it in trust for them, or maybe this child cannot manage money because they have some limitations, then you want to put it in trust for them, then an idea for you again is to equalize the estate, put the money into the trust for them, and give the other child the IRA. And it's not perfectly fair, but you know, life is not perfectly fair. Now, if you are over 50 and you are retired or retiring soon, and I know there's a lot of you. Did you know that I think it's like 10,000 people a day are turning 65? That's incredible to me. But anyway, if you are over 50, you are retired or retiring soon, then we'd love to meet you and see if we can help you. And we have a seminar coming up. We have multiple seminars coming up next week on retirement planning topics. The one that I think would be very interesting, if you are getting ready to retire or you're there already, is retirement planning in uncertain times. Okay, so we are in unprecedented times right now. I can say that with confidence. And we want to help you to think about how to protect your money from the next market crash, when and how to take Social Security, how to fight inflation, what are the best ways to invest when inflation comes. We're going to talk about diversifying your portfolio, calculating if you have your magic number, which is the amount of money you need to retire on. Where do you get your income when you are retired? We have a lot of information for you that I think you'll benefit from. So,
oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, it's not too wonderful to be true, because it is true. That Dorothy. Anyway, it's all of that is available to you at rpoa.com, rpoa.com. And also, if you'd like, you can podcast this show and subscribe to this show online at rpoa.com as well. Well, you know what? This show is over already. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed making it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Of course not. Only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.